ده شرائط القبول. You have about 23 minutes. So, شرائط القبول, the acceptance, conditions of acceptance of our prayers, these are necessary to be met if we want our prayers to be not just performed correctly, which we already learned, the شرائط of the conditions for the correctness of the prayers, but we want our prayers to be accepted also by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is how you make sure your prayers will be accepted. You know, first condition is the first condition is iman, and you need to have iman and faith in all those things which Allah made compulsory to believe in. So that's not the subject of our presentation, to talk about the details of iman and faith. We'll go to a different tangent. The belief in the infallible, of course, iman and faith includes the belief in the 12 infallible imams, which are part of the one of the greatest teachings and one of the most important teachings of Islam and Rasulullah. So we cannot be called a mu'min unless and until we believe in all the teachings that Prophet promoted, the Prophet preached. And the most important of all the teachings through which we learn Allah is the belief in the 12 imams, who are the madhar and reflection of Allah. So in belief in 12 infallible imams are compulsory for a person to be called a mu'min. Man lam, this is the hadith of Usul al-Kafi, one of our four mother books of hadith, and that's the reference. Man lam yatawallana, lam yaqbal Allah lahu amalan. Whosoever doesn't have our walayat, Allah doesn't accept any of his actions. As simple as that. So iman in the 12 imams, believing in their walayat and governance concept, disassociating ourselves from the tahuts and the zalim and oppressive rulers of yesterday and today. Well, some people find it very comfortable to do the para'at and tabarra and tabarri. In Arabic we say tabarri. From the past tahuts, you know. I talk bad about Yazid. Well, and because Yazid cannot come and cancel my green card. So that's the convenience, the Islam of convenience. And never talk about the oppressors of today. This is how some people are. They think that they are playing smart. Well, we cannot outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we believe in the 12 infallible imams, and the 12th one of Ahlul Bayt is alive, which is Imam Mahdi al-Islam, we have to disassociate ourselves from the enemies of Imam Mahdi al-Islam. It's unacceptable for a person to say, I am living in the time of Imam Hussein al-Islam, I disassociate myself from the enemies of Imam Ali and Imam Hassan, but I will not disassociate myself from Yazid, which is the enemy of Imam Hussein today. Is it accepted? If I am living in the time of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, I say, okay, I believe in Ahlul Bayt, I disassociate myself from the enemies of Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Sajjad, Imam Baqir, that when it comes to Imam Sadiq al-Islam, Mansur Damanaki, who is doing oppression on the Imam and usurping the walayat and governance right of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, I don't disassociate myself from Mansur Damanaki because that harms my Islam of convenience. Is that okay? No, it's not okay. This is how some people are following. This is the kind of Islam some people love to follow because it's the Islam of convenience. It's not Islam of Ahlul Bayt. Islam is Islam. Our personal takes are not Islam. We would be basically wasting our own times. Ahlul Bayt have made it clear. You know, for those who are serious for their spirituality, the path is clear. So we have to be very careful about the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Taqwa, God-weariness, that we care about Allah. At every intersection of our life, whenever you encounter two situations, one takes you towards the obedience of God, one takes you towards the disobedience of God, you always have the fear that forces you to select the path of obedience of God and not to do a sin at every intersection of your life. If you have this nur and divine light in your qalb of fear of Allah, is a divine light. So if you have this fear of Allah in your heart, Allah is not scary. Fear of Allah means fearing our own sins and the punishment of our own deeds. This is what taqwa is all about. So if we have the God-weariness, we care about Allah, we will always be focusing on what pleases Allah. Doing all the wajib and leaving all the haram, that's the minimum. Nothing less is accepted. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That's the verse of Surah Al-Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah. You know, when the guy was stealing things, there was a guy who stole four breads in front of the eyes of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, a masoom infallible Imam is different from us. Some of us, generally speaking, us means the Islamic community, generally speaking, some of us do not do our amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. We don't enjoy the, we do not ask the people to, you know, to do the good and stop them from the haram, because we want our personal relationship remaining intact and don't want to harm our personal relation. We just let it go and we ignore it. So that's why we fail to have that nur in our qalb, in our soul. So Imams are not like this. They are infallible. They always do the amr and nahi. They never let a haram, let it go unnoticed. They always take a notice and stop it. You know, try their best to stop it. So Imam Sadiq saw with his own eyes a person stealing four breads from a bakery. And on his way, when after stealing the breads, he went there and there were a bunch of poor people begging on the streets. He gave all the four breads to those beggars. Imam Sadiq can never ignore the haram. He went and talked to the person straight away and he objected on the haram that he did. And he started objecting on Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Instead of accepting it, look at the ignorance of some people. They used to even object on the masumin. So he said, well, I think you don't know the knowledge of your grandfather Rasulullah. Now, you don't know this knowledge. Because if you knew the knowledge of Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already informed us in the Holy Quran, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amsalaha. Whosoever brings one good deed will, you know, in other words, he's going to have 10 times of the reward. So 10 times. So one good deed has 10 times of the reward. And one bad deed, of course, there's just one sin. So one bad thing has one sin. One good deed, it has 10 times of the rewards. Isn't that right? So he said, well, I stole four breads. So the four breads, which means I have now, how many sins?
Four
sins. Four sins only. And then I gave the same four breads to the poor people, beggars there. So every good deed had 10 times the rewards. So I have 40 good deeds, so I get 40 times of the rewards. So so why not we can minus, 4 minus 40, so I still have 36 good deeds in my bag.
Wow.
You seem to be ignorant about the knowledge of your grandfather, Rasulullah. I still have 36 good deeds in my bag, and you are objecting on me? That's how some people are, you know. This is called complex ignorance. They don't know, but they think that they don't know that they don't know. In Mulmantit, the logic, we learned that the ignorance is of two kinds: Murakkab, the complex ignorance, and Jahlun Basir, the simple ignorance. Murakkab means somebody doesn't know, but he doesn't know that he doesn't know. But there are three doesn't know in the definition of the complex ignorance. Whereas the basit and simple form of ignorance, a person doesn't know, but he knows that he doesn't know. So this kind of person can always improve. So he's not stubborn. So basically, at that occasion when he said that remark, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam recited this same ayat of Quran which I mentioned here in the response. He said, Allah has said, Imam said, Antal jahil bi kitabillah, you are ignorant about the book of God. Allah has said in the Holy Quran, Innama yataqabbalullahu min al-muttaqeen. Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen, the muttaqeen people. When you, basically, what Imam Sadiq al-Islam is telling, trying to informing him that as soon as you stole the four breads and you do the four sins, you are not a muttaqeen person, you are a fasiq. You are not no longer an adil and just person. Isn't that right? When you steal, you do the bigger sin, gunah kabira. Are you an adil person doing the theft? Stealing from a Muslim person? Is it adalah? So you are, basically, when you do the sin, you lose your taqwa. When you lose your taqwa, then Allah is not going to accept your amal. Because Allah only accepts the good deeds from the muttaqi people. So this is for all the deeds. The taqwa is a general condition for acceptability of every action that we do in our life. Of course, including the prayers also. So let's look at this small video clip by Ibnu Umar Bahjat, Hafizahullah, one of our very greatest Urafa and great personalities. May Allah increase his life. One of our great Qaraz, approximately 99 years old. When Imam was in Paris, he asked the students in the house of Qum to go and pray behind Ayatollah Ruhma Bahjat. The voice is not coming. Let me rewind it once again and you increase the voice because I want everybody to listen to the beginning of the prayers. Please pay attention. He's saying the 7th takbirat, 6th takbirat, the mustahab before the takbirat al-ihram. Slowly, yes, he's saying 6th takbirat. It's mustahab to say 6th takbir before you say the 7th one. Now he said the 7th one, which he called the takbirat al-ihram to start the prayer. He's saying the 6th takbirat before it, which is mustahab. We discussed the 7th takbirat in the last month of Ramadan and the classes we had in the center. Combine it with the muqarrib, things that you want to make close to Allah. There's closing agents and making far agents that make you far away. They're not combined together. You have to avoid the agents that make you far away from Allah first, and then do the things which make you close to Allah. It makes sense. So Islam has already informed us we have to take care of the hukuk of nas. So if I usurp the money from other people, I borrow money from you, and then you start calling me, and I change my telephone number. So, and then I'm praying my prayers. So I must remember that, well, I'm wasting my time. There's not some, I cannot fool anyone else. It's the person can only fool himself. Because these things are already told to us by the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Salam. We have to take care of the hukuk of nas, and our prayers are not accepted as long as we do not take care of the rights of others. Man ahabba an ya'lama aqubila salatuhu amdan tuqbal. Whoever loves to find, Imam Khalid Islam said that whether his prayers is accepted or not, فَلْيَنْظُرْ هَلْمَنَعَتْ صَلَاتُهُ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. He should see, did his prayers stop him from the indecencies and the haram? فَبِقَدْرِ مَا مَنَعَتْهُ. As much as your prayers stop you, قُبِلَتْ مِنْكَ. The same amount is accepted from you. So if you got stopped from only 10% of the harams of the Sharia, 90% of the harams, you have no control over your desires, you get driven away because you care what the people would say on the street about you. You care what the people would say. So because of the sake of the people, I cannot follow this law of Islam. So I only follow 10% of the rulings, and I have iman on 10% and I have kufr over 90%, or asar of kufr over 90% of the rulings. So if you follow 40% of the rulings of Sharia and the rest of the 60%, I don't care. So we should, it's very clear, if you want to know our prayers are accepted or not, it's not a rocket science. These things are told to us already. These are the four rulings, four shara'it, and four conditions if we want our prayers to be accepted by Allah. This is the statement that the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he saw a person praying really, really fast. And so much fast that he was not even fulfilling his wajibs. He was messing up with the wajibs of the prayers. Incomplete wajibs. So prayers will be batil. So when Prophet saw that guy messing up with the wajib parts and compulsory parts of the salah, Prophet said, لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُ هَذَا لَخَشَعَتْ جَوَارِحُهُ. If this guy had the fear of Allah, if his qalb, his heart, felt the fear of Allah, his parts of the body, jawarih means the parts of the limbs of the body, would show that you are fearing Allah. So if we have the fear of Allah, we will do the prayers according to how it is prescribed. We cannot mess up and just do it so fast that we don't perform the wajib things properly. So if the heart of this person feared Allah, his lips would fear also. So rule of the thumb is that Al-Qalbu Amirul Adan. That's what our Qurafah say. Your soul is the leader of your body. So if you control your soul, if you have fear of Allah in your soul, your parts of the body will certainly behave in a controlled way and like an obedient, towards the soul. The reason why parts of the body are not behaving well, because the soul is not in the, is yet to be tamed. So control your heart first, the body will follow. That's the statement by Tullah Lughma Bahauddini, one of our very great scholars and Urafa. And the beauty of the statements of Arif Mujtahids, not every Mujtahid is Arif. We respect all the Mujtahids, but not every Mujtahid has an expertise in the ilm al-irfan, which is the highest level of knowledge of Ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the beauty of the Urafa is that they don't have the hijabat and curtains in front of their eyes. So they see the realities. They not just can prove it through evidences, which every other scholar can do that. They can see the realities with their eyes because they don't have the curtains of sins on their eyes, which not every scholar can see. We respect every scholar, but not everybody can see, because everybody is not an arif. So this is the beauty of the Urafa. So he said, somebody asked him that why are we unable to focus during the prayers? My imagination goes here and there, starts thinking about things. I cannot focus. So he said, well, it will be easy for you to focus. If you focus on the rest of the 24 hours, then it will be easy for you to focus in those few minutes when you are praying. The reason why we cannot focus in those few minutes, 5 minutes or 10 minutes of our prayer, because the rest of the 24 hours of our day and night is not focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way it should be. That's the reason why we will find it hard to focus and force that on ourselves and impose it. It's not going to happen. And I superficially and artificially impose myself that I don't think about anything else in the 5 minutes. It's not going to happen. It will never happen like this. The only way to have focus on Allah is to control your behavior in the 24 rest of the 24 hours. So if you want to find whether you have bulughul qalb, your heart is focused on Allah during the prayers or not, look at the rest of the hours other than the prayers first. That would determine your bulughul qalb in the prayers. If you have bulughul qalb in the rest of the hours of your day and night, that would decide whether or not you are eligible to have bulughul qalb in the prayers also or not. People are judging their bulughul qalb in the prayers. Isn't that not the appropriate way of judging? The appropriate way of judging bulughul qalb is look at the person's rest of his life. The rest of his life then would determine whether he would be eligible to focus in those few minutes or not. So you know, somebody came to him, you know, when they appointed Ayatollah Muntazari for that, you know, high maqam and being a deputy for Imam Khomeini, you know, so somebody came to Ayatollah Bahaudini and asked him that, you know, the expert council of the Mujtahids, Majlis of Obregon, has announced Ayatollah Muntazari to be the leader after Imam Khomeini. He replied, Manche, Ishunro, Rahbar Nini Bina, Rahbar Ema Sayyid Aliz. I don't see our leader. Our leader is Sayyid Ali. This is the time we are talking about when Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Ayatollah Khamenei, was the president. No one even thought about leadership for him. Long, long years ago when he was a president, Ayatollah Khamenei, because these people don't have hijabat. I told you earlier, they don't have hijabat and curtains. They see the realities of the future. They are different from the rest of the scholars. So we should learn the entire Islam of Ahlul Bayt from the Arif Mujtahids. Because they don't have curtains. They're not just installing evidence to prove it, they're seeing it. Isn't there a big difference in that? When you can see the reality and then you can describe it to somebody, instead of just knowing it with an evidence and you've never seen it, you've never been there, never saw it in your life, isn't that a better description? So Ayatollah Rahma, you know, Jawad Bariki Tabrizi, one of a very big Urafa, he was teaching Dars-e Kharij and a fiqh of Islamic jurisprudence in the middle of the Dars-e Kharij. He started to talk. Dars-e Kharij subject was fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence. In the middle, he started to talk about Bimal Irfan. And one of the students objected on the teacher, teacher, we came here to learn fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence from you. We didn't come here to learn Irfan from you. And he said, all the problems of Islamic Ummah are because of the fact that our fiqh and Islamic jurisprudence became separated from our Ilmul Irfan. Every problem of Islamic Ummah is because of this. That's the reason what I said to you earlier, that we as the believers of Ahlul Bayt should better learn the entire religion, the glorious and Nurani religion of Quran and Ahlul Bayt from those of the scholars who have ma'rifat of Imam Mahdi and ma'rifat